Hello and welcome to the show. This is Jason White for StrengthRadio.com, and you are listening to the StrengthCast. The StrengthCast is your weekly fitness podcast that comes to you live on Sunday nights from New York City. And I'm here to say, don't you dare quit on me now. Don't you dare quit on me now. We're just getting started. It's only 1 week after the new year. Only 1 week after the new year, and so what? You didn't gain 45 pounds of muscle. You didn't lose 20 pounds of fat. You're just getting started. Relax. Everybody just relax. Okay. We're going to work on our fitness. It's that simple. Rome wasn't built in a day. The most beautiful you ever was not built in a week, nor will it be built by the end of the month. All we are working on is practicing grooving the pattern. Practicing the habit of exercise. And it is only until we have the habit will we be able to measure some progress. So habit first. Good. Now we're all relaxed. Now we got a good perspective. Just working on fitness here. Nothing crazy. Every day, just a little bit. Every day, just a little something. Okay, sure, you can take the weekends off. In fact, there's something that I'll mention later on in the show that explicitly states you take weekends off. So I want to talk about this idea of keeping a resolution and, more importantly, making a plan. I had a great experience this weekend shooting some video with a colleague of mine. Members at StrengthRadio.com will be treated to some extra special video. My colleague, Will Smith, from NJPostRehab.com, New Jersey Post Rehab, has developed two simple exercise protocols for injury prevention for triathletes. It's a book that he's been working on with another colleague of mine. And these two protocols are some floor-based exercises and then some standing exercises. They're only bodyweight exercises. They're designed primarily to loosen up the joints, mobilize the muscle. It's what we call movement prep, as in movement preparation. And I got to tell you, when you see these exercises, you will be blown away. Because all they are preparation exercises. In effect, they're dynamic warm-ups. And each one individually might constitute a workout for a lot of people. They're only 5 minutes each. But watching him go through these exercises, I thought, man, there are a lot of people out there who might not even be able to do this movement preparation. So look out for that, because it's very exciting stuff. And if you can get your body to do the things that Will does in the video, you will be very, very excited. You will be happy, healthy, strong, and certainly more able and certainly more athletically inclined. They're excellent exercises. It'll be a lot of fun to see those. And of course, I'll keep you posted when I get those edited and posted on the site. But I had a great experience while I was there, because we were at a friend's gym. He's opened up a gym that's in downtown New York City. It's primarily for golfers. They train golfers there. And I've known, there's another colleague of mine, a trainer. I've known him for, probably 6 years now. Big, huge guy. Former, I think he played baseball in college. 212 pounds at his heavy, when he's heavy, about 6 feet tall. Really muscular, really fit. Great guy. For most people, he'd look like a bodybuilder. You talk to him, though, he's feeling fat. So I had a great experience with my friends here, and we were just discussing what to do. And it's funny, listening to some of us talk, you'd think we wouldn't be talking about it, but I guess that's why we're trainers, because we sit around and obsess about ways to get in better shape, ways to get fitter. And he was feeling as though he wasn't sharp. He didn't have the leanest possible body that he wanted. He had lost a lot of muscle trying a new diet, and he had gotten softer, and he just wasn't happy. So we were discussing the idea. And here's the thing that I want to put forward. One of the things we were discussing was supplements. And the thing to remember is your body is in the shape it's in because of three things and three things only, genetics notwithstanding. What kind of cardiovascular exercise you do, the type or amount of weightlifting exercise you do, and the things you put in your mouth. These things determine your body's composition. All other things being equal, like relative amounts of stress, ease. You know, you obviously can't focus very well on reducing your body fat if you're focused on getting out of jail, or you're focused on developing some shelter, getting some clothes on your back, obviously. So once all these things are taken care of, the things that you can focus on are what kind of cardio you do, what kind of weightlifting you do, and what things you put in your mouth. Those are the things that you can control, and these are things that I outline in the rhythm system. In discussing with my trainer friend, his next plan of attack, we came to the conclusion that you have to control for as many variables as possible if you are trying to determine whether or not a program, either a nutritional program or a workout program or a supplement, is effective. In other words, I get a lot of questions as a trainer. What do you think about XYZ supplement? Does it work? And the question always is, well, what do you mean, does it work? Does it do what it says it's going to do? Does it bring you the results that you desire? Years ago, I read a report by a famous trainer, Phil Kaplan. He's in Florida. And there was a product that came out onto the market when I first started training, and it was called Cybergenics. And what it was, I think, a month-long supply of vitamins and minerals that came in these little packs. And you had to eat like a dozen of these things every day. And it wasn't the only one of its kind, and there's been dozens like it before and since. And what Phil said was, if you ever come across one of these things, throw out the supplements and follow the workout program, because that's where the results are going to come in. Supplements, if you listen to the interview I did with Mark David on the site, supplements account for a minuscule amount of your overall success in fitness. The thing you have to remember is you have to control for variables. So in other words, before you even start messing around with supplements, let's see if you can get your cardio and your weightlifting and your nutrition all established, all rhythmic, all even. In other words, they're consistent. It's the same from week to week. You have a good pattern. You have a good habit. Once you've established that, then you can start playing with variables, but you have to make sure that you play with only one variable at a time. So in my discussion with my colleague, I said, okay, well, it sounds like you're trying to get leaner but still maintain as much muscle mass as you possibly can. So what we have to make sure that you do is you have to get the right amount of calories first. Get all your protein in, get your carbohydrates in, follow your same plan, whatever that is. Make sure your weightlifting is the same. I checked with him to make sure he was working out the same time each day. That was true. I said, okay, let's make sure all those things are even. And then let's start messing around with the cardio. So let's make the cardio the variable that we're going to mess around with. And let's make everything else controlled. So we know what kind of variable we're messing around with. And after 6 weeks, we'll be able to determine whether or not that's an effective methodology. Same is true for you. Great example is this. And I said, now listen, you can't just go balls to the wall. You got to relax and you got to start slow. He's an athlete. He doesn't need to start slow. But I just wanted him to make sure that he wasn't using the cardiovascularly so intensely. He wasn't exercising so intensely in terms of his cardio that he was essentially getting another type of anaerobic workout. Now, what I mean by this is if you do interval training, for example, on a treadmill where you run at top speed for 30 seconds to a minute and then come back and rest for 1 to 2 minutes and then repeat that cycle for as long as 15 minutes, yes, this is a very effective way to burn a lot of calories. But it can also be an effective way to damage muscle tissue in a manner that is not dissimilar from doing squats, for example. So think about a squat set. And you get under your bar and you start squatting and you do 10, 12 repetitions, let's say. The total amount of time you're under tension, you're under the bar, might be 30 seconds to a minute. And if you're doing 30-second to 1-minute sprints on a treadmill, it's essentially tapping the same system by which those muscles contract. That's an anaerobic system. And what that means is you have a limited amount of local fuel for your muscles. And as soon as they're burnt out, you will slow down or you'll hit your last repetition if you're underweight. And your body will start pumping for oxygen, because oxygen is the backup source. You go from anaerobic to aerobic. If you got yourself in an open field and you started running as fast as you can, you would not be able to run as fast as you can for more than about 30 seconds. That's because you're going to tap out your ATP supply, your body's going to have to replenish, and you're going to have to mix in oxygen if you want to keep going, and you're going to have to slow down if you want to keep going. So that's the problem inherent in interval type training. It's, yes, it's very effective, but if you're being very specific and you're really trying to maximize the result. Now, my friend here, he came in at 8.5% body fat. So for many of you listening, that might seem like an incredibly low number. But we're talking about a guy who wants to get down to 4.5% body fat so that his abs look like the ab guys do on the underwear boxes or in the magazines or on the billboards, you know, really sharp abs. Okay, that's possible, but we have to start figuring out what his body responds to best. So controlling the cardiovascular component is the first step, and we're going to give that 2 to 6 weeks to determine whether or not that's an effective step, provided all the other variables remain the same. Not many changes in the weightlifting workout, and the diet remains the same as long as it's providing him with as many calories as he needs to sustain or even grow muscle tissue. That's going to be the key. So he can't get even more than 5 or 10% over the amount of protein, carbohydrates, and fats that he needs to sustain his muscle tissue, his lean muscle tissue or lean muscle mass. It's a critical component, and I realize for some of you this might be a little bit high thinking, but it's important to start thinking this way because you're going to get there eventually. What are the variables that you're controlling for? So let's say at the end of 6 weeks, we discover that no change in body fat percentage. No change in body fat percentage. Okay, so what this means to me now is let's keep the weightlifting the same. Let's keep the cardiovascular system the same. Make no changes. And now let's start messing around with the diet. Now, I instructed him to use my carbohydrate step-down system. And I think the problem that he ran into before, and this is why bodybuilders take 16 weeks before a competition to start dieting down. Because if you start dieting too quickly, you lose muscle tissue. It's very difficult for some people to do because they want a result quickly. But the faster you get your results, the faster or the increased the likelihood that you will abandon your program and slide back into your previous state. The slower, the better. Remember, it's a habit. And this guy's very accomplished. So in this case study that we're looking at, what we're looking at doing is establishing norms and controlling one variable. If we found out that after 6 weeks, 12 weeks with measurements, and I said, you know, use your eye, you're very well practiced, you know your body well, look in the mirror and note the results and do it frequently, once a week at least, so you can tell, okay, it's working. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We'll just keep going that direction. But if it's not working, then we'll start messing around with the diet. And if after 6 weeks we notice that all things are the same in terms of the cardiovascular component, all things are the same in terms of the weightlifting component, then clearly the diet didn't make the difference that we'd need to make. And so we'd go back and start messing around with the weightlifting, what was happening during the weightlifting. Perhaps he wasn't going intensely enough during each of his training sessions. And perhaps he needed to find ways to make his training sessions more intense. Or perhaps he was going too intensely and was digging into his ability to recover, in which case we might need to slow it down a little bit. So there's a lot of variables to look at. The main three, the big three, the reason why your body's in the shape it's in, are because your cardiovascular component, your weightlifting component, and your diet. So those are the things that you can really manipulate, and those are the things that you should manipulate one at a time in order to achieve the best results. I think people, in terms of their idea of a supplement, does this supplement work, get confused, because if you are coming from a place where you are untrained, you are unpracticed, and you're starting a new training program, the training itself might be the thing that's making the difference, and the supplement's not working at all. There's no way of knowing. You could just easily be wasting your money. But if you start controlling for all these things, and now let's get back to our case study here. If we found out that the cardio change did nothing, if we found out that the weightlifting change did nothing, if we found out that the nutritional change did nothing, then it would be time to start looking at some supplements, keep everything else the same, and then we can determine whether or not the supplement is efficacious. And the same is true for you. There's no reason to add a supplement if your diet's all over the window. If it's going up, if it's going down, if it's coming in, if it's going out, you don't know what's going on. You have no idea how much protein you're getting in a given day. You have no idea how many meals you ate, you know, the other day. These things are important for you to note, be aware of, and make choices about so that you can make the kind of choices that lead you closer and closer to success. And it's funny because after we got done with all our discussing, he was really, really amped up, really excited. He's like, you opened my eyes. I'm very excited. Here's what I'm going to do. We got a plan out. And then he wanted to hire me, a colleague of mine. He's like, I want to hire you. You got to come down here. And what we have to do is plan. I'm paying you your normal training fee, and you're going to come down here, and we're going to plan. And it opened my eyes to the importance of planning. I've done such a great job planning for my clients over the years. I've done such a lousy job planning for myself. And that's the thing that I'm getting better and better committed to and more committed to this year. That's sort of what's kind of opened in terms of something that I'm really excited and willing to focus on, is what are my objectives and how do I plan on accomplishing them? It doesn't matter whether or not the plan works. What matters is that you've got a plan and you're going to see it through. That's the way you can determine whether or not things that you've been doing have been efficacious. I think John Berardi said it best when I asked him in my interview with him. You can listen to that on the site. If you're a member at strengthradio.com, you can download that interview. You can download all interviews if you're a member at strengthradio.com. Download all videos too, for that matter. And John Berardi said it very well. He said, you know, I've had guys ask me, well, you know, your program is okay, it's fine, but I like my program better, so I think I'm going to stick to it. What do you think about that? And they said, well, let me see what you're doing, and consulted their nutrition logs and found out that they weren't even sticking to the program that they thought was better. So if you're not sticking to a program and seeing it through to its finish, you'll never know whether or not it was efficacious. You'll never know whether or not it was the thing that was working or not. And that is of critical importance. Figure out that plan and stick to it. One of the members just emailed me a plan last week or the week before. Check out this plan. Let me know what you think. You can do that too if you're a member at strengthradio.com. Send me a private message from the forum or use the native message system, which you'll see right under the Account Center button. After you log in, the login box changes into your Account Center box. And if you click on Account Center or the little number underneath it, you'll find that that's an easy message system that you can use to email anybody in the system. You just have to know their member name or their username. Mine's Jason's Streng. It was meant to be Strength, but it ended up being Streng. And you can use that and send me a message, send me your plan, and I'll look it over. If it looks good, then we'll go for it. If we need to make adjustments, then we'll make some adjustments. But one of these members emailed me this plan, and it included a revolutionary new exercise system that you absolutely must know about. I was so thrilled when I found it, and I found it about 2 months ago, right after my arm had gotten broken in half, and I was recovering, and I was so upset because the first thing I wanted to do was go out and try this system and find a way to incorporate it into my workout plan, because it's genius. It's really genius. And you'll be kind of blown away at how cool it is. I'm really, really impressed that the guy who came up with it is not a fitness professional. He's just a great, intelligent, creative thinker, and he was seeking a solution to a problem. The problem was he was feeling a bit lazy, didn't want to go to the gym, but he needed a way to work out and needed a way to build working out into his life so that he could have something that he could do consistently and reliably. You will not believe what he came up with. It's a genius plan. It's a genius idea. And I'd like to introduce to you now the creator of this program called Shovel Glove. His name is Reinhard Engels. Let's listen to the interview I did with Reinhard right now.
So let's talk about, first of all, tell everybody what Shovel Glove is and then talk about how you developed it.
Yeah. So basically what it is it refers to both sort of an implement that you use to work out and a workout routine that you do with this implement. And the implement is a sledgehammer with a sweater wrapped around it. And the idea is that I've kind of had a sort of, I used to sporadically go to the gym, you know, sort of I'd go for a few months, and if I had someone to go with, then I could pull this off, you know, but by myself it was very, very difficult to motivate. And I'd reached one of these points where I hadn't been for a really long time, and I was trying to motivate to do some kind of exercise, and I was thinking about this thing I'd read about some 19th century French author who was talking about coal shovelers having the best abdominal muscles that he'd ever seen. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, if I could somehow shovel coal, that sounds really kind of fun. And obviously, because this, you know, French 19th century author, you know, knows what he's talking about, it would be effective. And so I started kind of trying to think of ways that I could mimic that movement. And I sort of went through a whole lot of crazy ideas. And I finally, you know, poking around the hardware store, came up with this idea of the sledgehammer with a sweater. Because it's sort of, it's like having a shovel with a weight attached to it, if you want to do shoveling movements.
Right.
And at the same time, it's, you know, it's got a little bit of sort of buffer, so you're not going to bing up the floors or kill the cats. I have two cats, and now I also have a 2-year-old child. So, you know, obviously people sometimes say, but what's a sweater going to do? You know, if you wax yourself on the head with it full force, it's not going to do much, but it's, you know, it's like an army helmet or something. You know,
sure.
If someone shoots you in the head with an army helmet, it won't help either, but it'll help for sort of
a glancing blow.
Yeah. So then I started doing shoveling movements, and then I tried to think of other kinds of sort of natural movements that people had historically performed in, you know, as farmers or laborers. And the idea was that movements like that would be kind of interesting to perform. Not just sort of fun, but kind of it would kind of capture your imagination. You could really, you know, sort of almost like, it was almost sort of like acting to do these things, which is a problem I'd had going to the gym because, you know, it can be kind of boring.
Yeah, you stand there, you do the, you know, you do the press, you do the pull, you do the curls.
Yeah, so if you have this sort of, if you can sort of imagine yourself, though, doing something that is real, it makes it, I think, a lot more interesting. And that's
definitely
certainly been my experience with this, because it's worked great. I've been doing this for years now, and other people have been doing it from having read about it on the web, too. And, yeah, I tend to get pretty enthusiastic responses. So some of the movements are drive fence posts. I have a YouTube video for all this stuff.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of it sort of sounds just, you know, like the movement, but some of it is a little tricky unless you see someone doing it. So,
well, take us through, you know, so people are familiar and they'll know what they're looking for. What are the basic movements that you'll do in a given shovel glove workout?
Yeah, so I do a bunch now. The first one, I'll go through in sort of the order that I tend to do it. So the first one I do is drive fence posts. And I got this idea from watching some reality series on PBS about like frontier. It was like they put people in these 1880s frontier conditions.
Oh, I remember that show.
Sorry?
I remember that show.
I don't remember what it was called, but it was a great show. It was very interesting. And
because
at the end, they all
died
because they didn't chop enough wood or something like that.
Right, because they took modern principles, people who had grown up in modern principles, and said, okay, now live without any of the things that you're used to.
Yeah, and none of these people could believe that you really had to chop that much wood back then.
Oh, my Lord, yes,
that you would die, you know? Anyway, it was very fascinating, and it gave me this idea for the move, the driving fence post, because I have to confess, I grew up in New York City. I live in Boston now, so I really have no idea as far as the authenticity of some of these moves. There's a lot of imagination going on here. fence post is the first move, and the idea is you've got this fence post, and you're sort of whacking it into the ground. And the next move that I do is churning butter. And again, I'm not going to try to describe these in great detail because it is much easier to just look at the YouTube and see it from there. The next move is shoveling. That was the original move. The next move that I do is sort of a weird move. It used to be called No Name, but now it has like 18 different names. And the most evocative name is probably Flip the Lever.
Okay.
And after that, there is chop wood. And then there is hoist the sack, which is sort of a triceps intensive move. Sort of over your sort of lifting it behind your back.
Yep.
After that, there is stoke the oven, which is kind of like a stabbing kind of movement.
Yep.
And then there is, after stoke the oven, there is, tuck the bales.
Hay bales. Like hay bales.
Like hay bales, right. It's sort of, you imagine you got a pitchfork and you're sort of in the loft or whatever, you're sort of moving them upwards. And then there is, the fireman, which is sort of, you're chopping a door down with an axe. And then the last one is chop the tree, which is sort of sideways.
Yes, of course.
Now, those are the basics.
Now,
and there have been a lot of other variants suggested by people on the website.
Oh, and as soon as my broken arm is healed, I'm going to go ballistic with this thing and demonstrate some really crazy moves.
It's a lot of fun. It's very satisfying. You know, it's not just the imagination. There's something about all these, smashing moves that is very, appealing to the testosterone.
Now, let's just make sure people know you're not actually hitting anything with the
sweater-wrapped
sledgehammer.
Yeah, I'm not hitting anything. It's all, you catch it. And in fact, the catching motion, I think, is where a lot of the exercise comes in.
This is exactly right. And as is clearly explained on your website, you don't have a fitness background. You just have an enthusiastic desire to create systems that work for you. And this is something that I've spent my fitness career trying to get everybody to do. It's, because there's no real one program for everybody. What the one program is for you to be curious enough to investigate your own fitness and your own body. So what you've done here is actually create a movement that...
Pretty cool, right? Pretty cool. Every single one of you can go out and purchase a sledge, wrap it in an old sweater, and get some exercise going in your home. You won't believe how effective this is. This is an incredibly cool exercise program. I endorse it fully as a fitness professional. It's awesome. A little bit iffy if you have a bad back already. If you have a bad back already, get a light sledge, go slow. Give yourself a few weeks. If you have a bad back already, I might not even recommend you do it at all. Certainly some of the things, every winter they seem to trot out the how shoveling snow can break your back segment on local news. And the only thing that's really true about that is most people tend to have poor strength in their lower back. And that has to do with a variety of factors, not least of which could be from sitting all day, from driving all day. The body wasn't meant to sit for such long periods of time. The more it moves, the better. So that might be part of the problem. It's hard to say for sure, but the one problem I did notice with this was that if your form wasn't perfect, then you might run into a little bit of low back trouble. And so my advice to you is the same as with any exercise advice. It's go slow. Go slow and find out how your body is handling the added stress. If you can do that, then you can easily accomplish level after level after level after increasing ability and increasing ability week after week, year after year. All an injury really is too much too quickly. Like when I fell down and broke my arm, I had too much pressure too quickly. So there's some great tidbits for you for this week's podcast. Remember to plan. I think few things could be more important than planning. I'm excited about the planning that I'm doing right now and mapping out what I'm going to do. In the meantime, I'm going to the gym and just doing some regular stuff. And it's not even that crazy. Mostly I'm working in a therapeutic level, trying to rebuild the strength in my arm, rebuild the flexibility in my wrist. I'm doing, get this everybody, 5-pound reverse dumbbell curls. That's about as much as I can handle right now. And I'm trying to build the strength back up. Once that gets back up, I'll be obviously working on getting this whole arm back up to speed, this whole right side back up to speed, so that I can then get back into the things that I used to do, like bench pressing and pull-ups, this kind of thing. And I'll be putting the therapy in my plan and planning as much as I'm in therapy, so that when I get out and when I'm fully recovered, I'll be able to hit the ground running. I suggest you do too. If you need some ideas in terms of things to put into your exercise program, log on to strengthradio.com. Avail yourself of all the workouts we have there and the different types we have. We have print and go workouts. We also have video workouts. Not many of the video workouts, but you know they're increasing, and you'll have pretty soon and two more to choose from our friend NJ Post Rehab, Will Smith. His movement prep is actually a pretty good workout. And if you can get through the movement prep thing, then you'll be in great position to do some great exercise. That's it for now. Have a wonderful, wonderful second week of the new year, 2007. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. I will see you on the site, www.strengthradio.com, and I will see you next week.